Thank you for tuning in to All Things Real Estate. Once again, here are your hosts, Brad Avergon and Gary Kelly.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. I'm Gary Kelly, joined by the ever debonair Brad Avergon.
Yes, that's me.
Go ahead, Brad. I knew you were going to say something.
I was ready to jump in. Yes. Hi, everyone. I'm Brad Avergon with Fairway Independent Mortgage.
Still independent, Brad?
Still independent after all these years.
Wow. That's pretty good. Anyway, I tease Brad about that. Fairway's a good company. So, Brad, if you were working with a buyer right now, and I know you do in your business, what are you telling them?
I'm telling them right now, because obviously there's you know, people are concerned a little bit about interest rates. They're concerned about inventory. And the message I'm giving them is pretty clear. It's get in the game. Get in the game. I am working with a client right now who is they've got the income, they've got a strong employment history, but they're still a little on the nervous side. And one of the things that I was able to do was to send them some impartial information, meaning I didn't create it. I sent them a link to a graph on real estate values going back to 1975. And so they can see it. And it includes the dip in 2008 and when we came out of it. But I think that gives, and these people are first-time homebuyers, I think it gives them some perspective. I was also able to send them a link to current rents because in some cases they've been renting for a while and they're saying, well, rent is cheaper, and it is in some cases. It's less expensive than purchasing. And so while that's true, it's important to get a broader perspective and say, well, what have rents done over the course of time? And they've typically gone up, and where are they now and where are they likely to go? So I sent them that information. And then the last concept that I shared with them was the concept of OPM, other people's money. And basically what it means is if you were to buy a $400,000 house today and you were to put down on that house, let's say you put down 5% on the house, that's $20,000, okay? Your return on that $20,000, even if that house, let's say the house grew, say it grew at 5%, okay? Your immediate, annually, your immediate return on that is going to be you got the 5% return again and again. So you're making money on your money higher than you might make. If you think of the $20,000 and you make $20,000 in a year in appreciation, that's 100% return on your investment. That's a pretty high return compared to what you might make on the stock market. So the concept of other people's money and being able to use it, leverage your investments to make more money. That's a lot of, especially first-time homebuyers, they're not familiar with that. So I kind of share that with them.
We did a seminar at a local credit union. I know you're not a credit union recently. And it was something where they had invited their members in. And they had someone from the credit union talk about mortgages. They had us talk about real estate. And I think, you know, we were the comic relief, mortgage presentation went for an hour, and I gotta be honest, an hour is too long with all due respect to the people involved. And then there was an attorney that followed, Dan Berger from Westboro followed. It was interesting. The room had probably 30 plus people in it. We've had a number of calls from people afterwards. So I think that my sense is they have a sense of what is going on in the marketplace, and they're willing to dip their toe into it. So that's a good thing. In this particular case that I'm thinking of, this past weekend, we met with someone from that seminar, and she brought her parents with her. And, you know, we had a nice meeting out on a patio in Marlboro, as it turned out. And we found a place that was available to look at, and we went and looked at it together. Now, I don't have a great ending to that story. The woman wants to have a dog. This place didn't allow dogs, but she wanted to see it. She sees it advertised a lot, wanted to see it. We were able to get in and show it to her, but we were able to have a nice patient conversation about, you know, look at this. What do you like? What don't you like? And I think that that's important because a lot of times people are hesitant to reach out to a real estate agent and say, can you show me this? Or they go to the open house. The problem with going to the open house is the person that's standing at the open house may or may not have the best interests of the buyer in mind. So that's why you want to make sure you have a buyer's agent and have, these days there's paperwork to be a buyer's agent. I won't bore you with that. The National Association of Realtors just issued another proclamation on paperwork. Once we get done with the paperwork, we'll be fine. But right now it's just tons of it. But yeah, the idea is this, and where I struggle with it, is they want us to say we represent the buyer. That's true. And the issue is the buyer needs to be loyal to us. Because many times we'll have a buyer, you know, show us a place, or a buyer want to see a place, and then we never see or hear from them again. And that can be bothersome because you want to work with someone and help them find the right spot. So those are all things that happen. But it was interesting that she's there. Her parents are there. The parents own a business. And the parents are like, you know, we're not far behind her with the idea of selling our house and moving. They happen to own a place in Maine, as it turns out. I think that mom would not want to move to Maine immediately. I think dad would move to Maine tomorrow. It's just one of those interesting things as people work through what their next step is.
Yeah, I think it's important, you know, and it's great that they got a chance to meet you and Sue, and to get those conversations happening, because, you know, there's a saying or a term called analysis paralysis, where people just, they start to think about something and they start to analyze it and it becomes overwhelming and then they do nothing, versus working with someone like you and Sue. They can start to get those important questions, you know, looked at. They can have somebody come out to their home and give them a ballpark idea without feeling that they're going to be pressured to put their home on the market. In the case of I think she was a daughter that was looking for a property. She gets to feel comfortable going with her parents, looking at a property, not feeling, oh, you got to put an offer in on this property. No, it was an initial kind of get to know.
Well, the thing that was interesting about that one is I found myself using many of your lines without attribution, apologies, where I would, well, one of my favorite lines is, are you pre-approved? Yes. Trust me, you are pre-approved more than you should ever spend. Okay. If you're not sure, start setting that money aside every month, put it in an envelope. Put it in a separate account, put it somewhere so that you can begin to experience what it's like to have that that draw on your income on a go forward basis. Well, I don't care if they use it for down payment. I don't care if they use it for buying furniture or getting the house painted. It doesn't matter to me. But start the process of setting that aside. That came from you.
It did. It's an exercise I put all my first time home buyers through before, when they first contact me for pre-approval, or even if I'm giving them some counseling on how to get ready to get pre-approved, I'll say, listen, let's start with this. You still have control of your money, so it's not like you're paying it away, but I want you to start writing a check and putting this, you know, we're segmenting this money every single month as if you're paying a mortgage. Because if it's too much for you, let's adjust it now before you get into trouble. But if it's fine and you feel comfortable, you're going to feel comfortable to move forward when that time comes without a lot of that anxiety of going into a mortgage payment.
I think it scares people. It really does. I mean, they're all excited to look at the house and they're also excited to sign the paperwork. And it's always interesting. Some people want to read every word and some people are just, yeah, give me the electronic signature. I'll just sign it. When it comes to signing the mortgage, I remember the first time I sat down to sign a mortgage and I was going to read every word and I wanted to propose changes. And the attorney laughed at me and he says, yeah, this is standard form. We're not going to change anything. If you have a concern, let's talk it through. Which was kind of him because I had my pen out. I was ready to make changes. It's not the way it works.
No, it's not. And I think the biggest, it's really funny when I, and I obviously, I deal with a fair amount of home buyers, especially first time home buyers, where it's, I think it's fear of commitment. I don't know if it goes back into relationships, whatever, but it's fear of commitment because people will pay for rent year after year after year. And oftentimes that rent keeps going up. But because it's not, you're not committed, right? You're not committed. I'm only committed for a year. I'm not committed for a lifetime. I'm not committed to hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm committed to a monthly payment of X. And if I bail out of it, I'm committed to maybe 2 months of payments. So because it's that not having to make a commitment, they feel comfortable in it. So they'll keep paying their landlord's mortgage year in and year out while the landlord gets appreciation and lowers their debt. And they feel okay with that. But making a commitment, when you sign that paperwork, when you look at that amount of money that you're borrowing and what it may cost you over 30 years, it becomes overwhelming. And sometimes that fear to be able to make that jump stops them from doing what's in their own best interest. But it's interesting. But usually that's where coaching from someone like yourself and me and helping them kind of get comfortable with that, I think makes a big difference.
Well, the other thing we say is right now, interest rates are beginning to creep back up again. Don't know how high they're going to go. The thought is they won't stay up forever, and there's an opportunity that they may come down. What I say to people is they're not going to come down to the COVID times where you're talking, 2.75%. My line, and again, I think I got this one from you, is that the banks can't make money at that. So it's got to be more than that. But, you what's the line? You buy you marry the house, you date the rate.
You date the rate, marry the house. So here's what, you know what? And it's very funny that you bring up interest rates. Interest rate is nothing more than a number, Gary. That's all it is. It's a number. What's really more important, and I stress this to the clients, is what is that monthly payment going to feel like compared to what you make right now on a monthly basis? What you take home, what you spend in other debt obligations, what it's going to feel like. Because those interest rates, I agree with you. I think interest rates will fall over time. They'll come back to a more normal range. My guess is in the mid fives. But until then, can you afford to make this monthly payment comfortably? Or are you going to be in trouble? Because if you're going to be in trouble, that's not a good situation, right? We got to back away. We got to rethink this. Or maybe they need to save more money up so they make a stronger down payment. But can you afford the monthly payment? Don't worry so much.
The other thing I say about renting is you're paying the other person's mortgage and the other person's reserves and the other person's peace of maintenance and all that stuff. So it's not like it's this great deal. But at the same time, it's tough out there to find a house. The Boston area, they announced recently that the median price of a home in Boston is over $900,000. And I can't conceive of that. When I bought my first house, it was substantially less than that. It was a fraction of that. So I think that it is hard. What that ends up doing is people are, being asked to go out to Western Mass, Northern Mass, that kind of stuff. But there are houses. Brad, one last time, if they need to reach you, how would they do so?
Best way to reach me, Gary, is via my cell phone, which is 978-375-5531, or they can email me at brad@bradavergon.com. And Gary, how do they reach you?
I'm at 508-733-6005 or Gary at Move with Gary. Well, Brad, thank you very much. I appreciate your participation, and we look forward to chatting again next month.
Absolutely, Gary. Look forward to it. Be well, everyone.
Once again, thank you for watching All Things Real Estate. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to Brad or Gary.